Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is Side 2 of For the Record program number 435, titled The Road to Lugano, being recorded on November 17th of 2003. We're going to continue with our discussion of Lugano, Switzerland, and the Bank Altaqua, and the Thyssen-Bornemisza firm. In Side 1, actually, we dealt primarily with the Thyssen-Bornemisza firm. That is the root firm, so to speak, of the the Union Banking Corporation, Bush-Harriman family nexus. We've talked about that in numerous broadcasts over the years. In Side 1, we talked about the role of the Bush family and the UBC-Thyssen connection in secreting Nazi funds abroad after World War II. That puts the Bush family and this connection in the context of the Bormann Flight Capital Organization, about which we've spoken many times. In this broadcast, we're going to be taking a look at the Bank Altaqua, which also runs through Lugano, Switzerland. One of the common elements in the discussion of the Bank Altaqua and Thyssen-Bornemisza is not only Lugano, Switzerland, but at one level the Third Reich, and also the Bush family or members thereof and the Bush administration. In numerous broadcasts available from Spitfire and on the web and on the WFMU websites, we've talked about the Muslim Brotherhood, an Islamist fascist organization that began in the 1920s. We're going to be talking about that, time permitting, later on in the program, reviewing some of its ideology. Suffice it to say that the Muslim Brotherhood's primary financial organ is the Bank Altaqua, which increasingly appears to be the epicenter of the attempts to interdict the Al-Qaeda and Hamas funding structure. Just as the Bush-Harriman-UBC-Thyssen connection was involved in helping to frustrate Operation Safe Haven, a U.S. Intelligence and Treasury Department operation aimed at interdicting the Nazi flight capital after World War II, so too the attempts to realize Operation Green Quest, also a U.S. Intelligence and Treasury Department operation aimed at interdicting enemy funds, that too is being frustrated, and once again elements associated with the Bush family and the Republican administration are connected to that, or at least to the Altaqua nexus and some of the elements that are implicated in the activities of Al-Qaeda and Hamas. So we're going to be taking a look at the roads through Lugano and the frustration of not only Operation Safe Haven, as we looked at in Side 1, but Operation Green Quest. We've spoken about Youssef Nada and Ahmed Idris Nasreddin. A United Nations report about the continuing activities of those individuals was carried in the Financial Times of London of Friday, November 14th of 2003. This is an article by Mark Turner and Edward Alden. It's headlined, "Loopholes Undermine Crackdown on Terror Financing." The article reads in part, "The international system designed to curb the flow of financial resources to Al-Qaeda is being dangerously undermined by inadequate cooperation, legislative loopholes, and a lack of political determination," the United Nations has warned. A new UN report obtained by the Financial Times reveals that despite considerable progress, unquote, in combating terrorist financing, Al-Qaeda-related businesses and charities continue to operate across the globe. It highlights the activities of Youssef Nada and Idris Nasreddin, directors of Altaqua, a financial group the U.S. believes was the most important fundraising operation for Al-Qaeda. The report says the two men continue to maintain commercial interests and property in Italy and Switzerland, despite their designation as terrorist financiers. It says Mr. Nada traveled to Liechtenstein in January of 2003, and tried to re-register two Altaqua-related companies under new names. By doing so, he violated a UN-sanctioned travel ban. Then on the inside of that same edition of the Financial Times of London, Friday, November 14th of 2003, there is a longer article detailing the significance of Altaqua and the apparent continued activities of Youssef Nada and Ahmed Idris Nasreddin. By the way, we've spoken about Nada in many programs, for the record 343, 354, 377, 388 being among them, also at number 371. And we've spoken about the Operation Green Quest raids and the links between some of the targets of those raids and the Islamic Institute and, in turn, the GOP in a number of broadcasts, including, for the record, 356, 357, and 415. This is from the Financial Times of Friday, November 14th of 2003. This article is by Edward Alden, Mark Hubbard, and Mark Turner. It's headlined, Al-Qaeda Financiers Active in Europe. It reads in part as follows. In fact, it reads in part as follows. The subtitle of this, a UN report reveals a lack of action over Youssef Nada and Ahmed Idris Nasreddin. Two men at the center of what U.S. investigators believe was the most important international financing network for al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups continue to operate businesses in several European countries, according to an investigation by the United Nations group monitoring international sanctions on al-Qaeda and the Taliban. The report, obtained by the Financial Times, traces the recent activities of Youssef Nada and Ahmed Idris Nasreddin, who were directors of a financial group known as Al-Taqwa. Mr. Nada was named as a terrorist financier by the U.S. on November 7, 2001, in action by Washington to crack down on funding for terrorists after the September 11th attacks. Mr. Nasreddin was listed by the U.S. on April 19, 2002, on allegations that he headed a network of companies that provided direct support for Mr. Nada and Bank Al-Taqwa. The UN has also designated both men, requiring all UN countries to shut down their financial and commercial operations. But the UN report says that while the bank accounts of both men and of the Al-Taqwa entities have been frozen, quote, nothing has been done with respect to any of their other physical or business assets, unquote. The report adds that both continue to have commercial property interests in Italy and possibly Switzerland, as well as residences in Lugano and Italy. Mr. Nada also defied a UN travel ban to go to Liechtenstein in January of 2003, where most of Al-Taqwa's offshore companies were registered. While there, he applied to change the names of two of his companies and to name himself as liquidator of both companies. After the UN monitoring groups raised questions, the Liechtenstein government removed Mr. Nada as the liquidator. But because of Liechtenstein's lax registration requirements for offshore shell companies, the government has no information regarding Mr. Nada's companies, the report said. Jonathan Weiner, a former State Department official and expert on terror financing, called it, quote, shocking to think that any element of Al-Taqwa is still functioning. Their business activities are supposed to be shut down. It's cut and dried, unquote. U.S. and European investigators believe that Bank Al-Taqwa, originally set up in 1988 with significant backing from Egypt's Muslim Brotherhood, was at the middle of an international network of charities and companies used to funnel money to Al-Qaeda and to other groups, including Hamas, quote, U.S. terrorism finance investigators view Al-Taqwa as the spine on which other terrorist finance operations were built, unquote, says Mr. Weiner. In just 1 year, 1997, the U.S. believes that $60 million collected for Hamas was funneled through Bank Al-Taqwa. U.S. investigations of a network of Islamic businesses and charities in Northern Virginia known as the Safa Group, which the U.S. believes funneled millions of dollars to terrorist groups, have turned up several links to Al-Taqwa. In addition, the names of Mr. Nada and Galeb Himat, both of whom founded Bank Al-Taqwa, were discovered on the electronic organizer of Abdurrahman Al-Amoudi, who was charged last month with violating U.S. sanctions against Libya and is alleged by Washington to be part of a larger U.S.-based terror financing network. But the UN report shows efforts to shut down the group's operations in Europe have been half-hearted. It identified what it called serious problems related to the identification and blocking of their assets, especially assets other than bank accounts, unquote. Many of these problems arise, the report said, because the two maintained, quote, offshore companies and trusts to mask their business holdings, unquote. And that is a reference to some of the complications dealing with Youssef Nader. And again, it appears that so far the efforts at completely interdicting this network have failed. Now, note again, first of all, the reference here to U.S. investigations of a network of Islamic businesses and charities in Northern Virginia known as the Safa Group. That targeting of that investigation is Operation Green Quest. Note also the reference here to Nada and Himat being connected to Abdurrahman Alamoudi. I'm going to review an element that we looked at in For the Record 433. This is from MSNBC.com. This is from Countdown with Keith Olbermann for October 23rd of 2003. And this is on the MSNBC.com website. Keith Olbermann is interviewing, among others, John Loftus. And after speaking with NBC's Lisa Myers and Stephen Emerson, an expert on terrorism, Keith Olbermann goes on. John Loftus, host of the Loftus Report. Good evening, Keith. Olbermann. Well, they sure vetted this guy, referring to Abdurrahman Alamoudi. What, how? What happened here? Loftus. Well, you know, it's a funny story. About a year and a half ago, people in the intelligence community came and said guys like Alamoudi and Sami Al-Arian and other terrorists weren't being touched because they'd been ordered not to investigate the cases, not to prosecute them because they were being funded by the Saudis, and a political decision was being made at the highest levels. Don't do anything that would embarrass the Saudi government. So, of course, I immediately volunteered to do it, and I filed a lawsuit against Al-Arian, charging him with being a major terrorist for Islamic Jihad. Most of his money came from Saudi charities in Virginia. Now, Alamoudi's headquarters were in the same place. He was raided the same day on March 20th. An hour after I filed my lawsuit, the U.S. government finally got off its butt and they raided these offices. And the stuff they're taking out of there now is absolutely horrendous. Al-Arian has now finally been indicted along with Alamoudi today. But who was it that fixed the cases? How could these guys operate for more than a decade immune from prosecution? And the answer is coming out in a very strange place. What Alamoudi and Al-Arian have in common is a guy named Grover Norquist. He's the super lobbyist, Newt Gingrich's guy, the one the NRA calls on, head of Americans for Taxpayer Reform. He's the guy that was hired by Alamoudi to head up the Islamic Institute, and he's the registered agent for Alamoudi personally and for the Islamic Institute. Grover Norquist's best friend is Karl Rove, the White House Chief of Staff, and apparently Norquist was able to fix things. He got extreme right-wing Muslim people to be the gatekeepers in the White House. That's why moderate Americans couldn't speak out after September 11th. Moderate Muslims couldn't get into the White House because Norquist's friends were blocking their access. Olbermann. How does this tie back into the thing that apparently pulled the stopper out of the drain, if you will, the developments at Guantanamo Bay? How rotten is the system of the interpreters and the chaplains, the Muslim chaplains that Alamoudi was involved in setting up? Loftus. It's as rotten as it gets. Think of the Muslim chaplains program that was set up. Think of the Muslim chaplains program that he set up as a spy service for Al-Qaeda, he being Alamoudi here. The damage that's been done is extreme. It wasn't just sending home mom and dad messages from the prisoners. These guys, this network in Guantanamo, stole the CIA's briefing books. Everything that the CIA knew about Al-Qaeda is now back in Al-Qaeda's hands. That's about as bad an intelligence setback as you can get. Olbermann. John, how does this end up? How far will the investigation into this necessarily have to go to get to the bottom of it? Loftus. There's a lot more to go. Norquist had a lot of other clients. There's a whole alphabet soup of Saudi agencies that funded terrorism in this country, and they had an awful lot of protection. And one of the things we may find about 9/11 is that people out in the field weren't allowed to connect the dots, and questions will be asked about whether guys like Grover Norquist were part of the problem. Again, as we've seen in many programs, including 356, 357, and 415, the Islamic Institute heavily overlaps the Republican Party's ethnic outreach organization. Founding members were not only Grover Norquist and Karl Rove, or founding principals, not only Grover Norquist and Karl Rove, but also Talat Otman, a director of Harkin Energy, one of George W. Bush's energy companies. And Talat Otman interceded on behalf of the targets of Operation Green Quest with former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill on April 4th of 2002. O'Neill was then fired dismissed under pressure or resigned under pressure about 8 months later. And in numerous broadcasts, we've looked at the many link-ups between not only the targets of the Green Quest networks, Youssef Nada and Al-Taqwa, but also the links between the Al-Taqwa network and, obviously, through the targets of Green Quest, Safa Trust, the SAR network, the Islamic Institute, the Republican Party, and elements of the Bush administration. So, again, although I think some of the generalizations made in the New Hampshire Gazette articles weren't entirely accurate, I would not precisely compare the invasion of Iraq with the Hitler's occupation of Poland, although certainly there was much falsification on the part of the U.S. or on the part of the Bush administration. I do think that some of the comparisons between the Bush family dealings with Nazi Germany and the Bush family's dealings with Al-Qaeda are altogether accurate. And as I've indicated in the past, I think that the invasion of Iraq was part of a continuation of World War II. I think the U.S. was lured into a trap, and I think that the Muslim peoples of what the Third Reich referred to as the Earth Island are being used by the Underground Reich as proxy warriors against primarily the United States, but also to a lesser extent the United Kingdom, and they are also slated ultimately to be the executioners of the Israelis, who in turn, in addition to being the focal point of the truly final solution to the, quote, Jewish problem, unquote, will, with their weapons of mass destruction, ultimately be, in my opinion, if the situation is not interdicted, the final solution to the Arab problem as well. Again, I believe this is a very complex Byzantine situation. I believe that the U.S. was lured into a trap, and I believe that September 11th was part of what is literally a continuation of World War II, with the Underground Reich and the Underground Axis utilizing Islamist, Islamo-fascist, and Earth Island Muslim populations as proxy warriors against primarily the United States. Again, I can appreciate this will appear whacked to some listeners, but sadly, I think there's a fair amount of documentation for that, and let's hope my analysis and predictions are wrong. Reviewing now some information from For the Record 370. Again, this in turn from the book Dollars for Terror, subtitled The United States in Islam by Richard LaBeviere, about Lugano, Switzerland and Bank Al-Taqwa. Again, the Thyssen-Bornemisza operation goes to Lugano. The Bush-Harriman-UBC connection is an inextricable link to the Thyssen-Bornemisza Lugano connection. Bank Al-Taqwa also travels the road to Lugano. Again, Lugano, Switzerland is the epicenter for Thyssen-Bornemisza and for Al-Taqwa. From Dollars for Terror of Al-Taqwa, while establishing its headquarters in a tax haven, the Muslim Brothers Bank opened a branch, Al-Taqwa Management Organization S.A., in Italian Switzerland in Lugano. Lugano, a discreet frontier banking locale, is a stone's throw from Milan, a major financial center, and above all, the Islamist group's entry point into Europe. Al-Taqwa is situated on the top floor of a small glass building right in the center of Lugano in the banking district, a district where overly curious journalists are immediately denounced to the police, who then conduct American-style identity checks in the middle of the street. In Lugano, bank secrecy is no laughing matter. Several times we tried to meet Mr. Nada, who eventually responded by mail. Quote, "We allow neither you nor any other journalist nor publication to speak about us, positively or negatively, without our written permission," unquote. Signed, Youssef Nada. And of Youssef Nada and the Muslim Brothers, Muslim Brotherhood's connection with Nazi Germany, reviewing, again, some of the information that we've looked at in, For the Record 343, among other programs, again, from Dollars for Terror. But Youssef Nada is even better known to the Egyptian intelligence services, who have some evidence of his membership in the armed branch of the fraternity of the Muslim Brothers in the 1940s. At that time, according to the same sources, he was working for the Abwehr under Admiral Canaris and took part in a plot against King Farouk. This was not the first time that the path of the Muslim Brothers crossed that of the servants of the Third Reich. The founder of the fraternity himself, Hassan al-Banna, served as an intermediary between those who went on to become the free officers, in particular Anwar al-Sadat, and the agents of Nazi Germany. And still more about the Muslim Brotherhood and its association with the Third Reich, again reviewing from Dollars for Terror. Speaking of the relocation of the Brotherhood to Munich after they were kicked out of Egypt, why Munich? Why Germany, I asked Rafat Saeed. Quote, because there one finds old complicities that go back to the late 1930s when the Muslim Brothers collaborated with the agents of Nazi Germany. By soaking up the savings of these Muslim workers, Youssef Nada, like Saeed Ramadan, took advantage of an extremely favorable context and used it as a springboard for the Muslim Brothers' economic activities. Unquote. That again from Dollars for Terror. More about the fascist ideology and structure of the Muslim Brotherhood, continuing with Dollars for Terror. The Muslim Brotherhood is called here by Richard Labaviere the Fraternity. The history of the fraternity makes the brothers' concept of the Islamic State clear, a theocratic state of fascistic inspiration. Some of them were fellow travelers of the Nazis and are still trying today to resuscitate the old alliance of Islamism and the swastika, unquote. Muhammad Saeed al-Ashmawi continued, all my research always brings me back to the same point. At the beginning of this process of the perversion of Islam are the Muslim Brothers, an extreme right cult. An extreme right cult? The history of the Muslim Brothers is infused and fascinated by fascistic ideology, Saeed al-Ashmawi adds, again quoting, their doctrines, their total if not totalitarian way of life, takes as a starting point the same obsession with a perfect city on earth in conformity with the celestial city whose organization and distribution of powers they can discern through the lens of their fantastical reading of the Quran. This fascistic affiliation, unquote, would crop up in the analyses of several of our interlocutors, in particular that of journalist Eric Rouleau, who is a specialist in the Middle East, former French ambassador to Tunisia and Turkey, unquote. And returning once again to the Dollars for Terror. Lastly, the emergence and rise to power of fascism, hostile to French and British colonialism, gave rise to many analogies with corporatist propaganda and the methods of mobilization of Mussolini's gangs, unquote. Skipping down. Quote, Islam is doctrine, divine worship, the fatherland, the nation, the religion, spirituality, the Quran, and the sword, unquote. And skipping down still further of the economic program of the Muslim Brotherhood, quote, taking Italy's choices under Mussolini for inspiration, the economic program set three priorities. The social policy foresaw a new law on labor founded on corporations. This economic program would more directly reveal its relationship to totalitarian ideologies a few years later with the works of Mohammad Ghazali. Mohammad Ghazali recommended, quote, an economic regimen similar to that which existed in Nazi Germany and fascist Italy, unquote. The moral code is also an important component in this program, which is intended to create the, quote, new Muslim man, unquote. The notion of the equality of the sexes is inherently negated by the concept of the supremacy of male social responsibilities, the, quote, natural, unquote, place of the woman is in the home, unquote. And skipping down still further in Dollars for Terror, in 1942, the fraternity clandestinely established its military branch. This came to light in a spectacular way with the assassination while the Parliament was in full session on February 24, 1945, of Prime Minister Ahmad Maher, who had just declared war on the Axis powers. The Muslim Brotherhood, by the way, became a primary element in the war against Israeli independence in 1948. It remains a primary element of Islamist and Islamo-fascist organizations around the world, not only in Sunni, but in Shiite Muslim countries as well. Although it's not a name that's well known, the Muslim Brotherhood is essentially at the core of the events that are basically unfolding on the world stage. And reviewing again briefly from the Financial Times of London article, this from the article on the inside, this from Friday, November 14th of 2003, Al-Qaeda financiers active in Europe, subtitled, "A UN report reveals a lack of action over Youssef Nada and Ahmed Idris Nasreddin." Skipping down about Bank Al-Taqwa, Jonathan Weiner, a former Senate State Department, senior State Department official and expert on terror financing, called it shocking to think that any element of Al-Taqwa is still functioning. Their business activities are supposed to be shut down. It's cut and dried, unquote. Skipping down. U.S. terrorism finance investigators view Al-Taqwa as the spine on which other terrorist finance operations were built, says Mr. Weiner. And again, the operations are apparently still continuing. Those operations running through Lugano, Switzerland. That is where the Thyssen-Bornemisza firm, now the parent firm of ThyssenKrupp, the largest heavy industrial firm in Western Europe, is based. And again, inside one of the program, we reviewed information about the Bush family, Harriman family, Union Banking Corporation connections to the Thyssen-Bornemisza firm. A couple of suspicious deaths, one in 47, one as late as 96. We also looked, by the way, that in connection with the investigation, we also took a look at the fact that newly released government documents confirm that the Bush-Harriman-UBC-Thyssen relationship continued into the early 1950s, right to the time that George W.'s grandfather was elected to the Senate, and that those business relationships continued while some of the firms were working secreting Nazi funds abroad in neutral countries. That was part, obviously, of the Bormann Flight Capital program. Spitfire is a CD duplication service that stocks the various programs and lectures I've done over the years. You can reach them at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Email is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. You can reach them by regular mail at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. Their website is mail, M-A-I-L, or excuse me, is www.spitfirelist.com. It's equipped with real audio. The latest pair of half-hour segments are available for roughly a week or so after the recording of the program. And in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website, there will be a detailed, annotated description of this program within a week or so of the airing of the broadcast. WFMU is archiving the For the Record programs on real audio. WFMU.org/Dave Emery has more recent programs streaming. There is a longer URL which has the rest of the programs available for download only on Real Audio. It's linked to both the For the Record section of the Spitfire website and to the WFMU.org/Dave Emery website as well. That concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 435, The Road to Lugano, being recorded on November 17th, 2003. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.